You're listening to the Travel Geniuses podcast for travel agents who love planning vacations for their clients, but wish the business side of things was just a little bit easier. This is episode 60, and I'm talking about why your website might actually be hurting your business and what you can do to change that. Hey, Travel Geniuses, Christy. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the podcast. I'm a little nervous about this one. Today I'm going to talk about websites and why your current website might not be working for you, and actually why it might be working against you, and some things you can do to fix that, which seems like a very straightforward topic, but it's something that I have a lot of feelings about. So I can't guarantee that I will always say the right words, and I don't want to stress about it the whole time. Like, I don't want this to take me forever to record and edit this podcast. So I'm just going to talk to you like I would if you were sitting in front of me and we were having a conversation. Okay. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is that I'm going to be very frank today. I've talked about this topic a little bit, and I will link to past episodes where I've talked about websites. And I'm sure I've mentioned some of the points I'm going to make, some of the downsides to some different website platforms out there for travel agents. But I've always tried to be very diplomatic about it, because this is a very small industry. Everybody knows everybody, and there are some big players that own and control a lot of things in this industry. And some of those companies and organizations control or own or have a stake in some of these website platforms. And one of my fears was sort of, I would say the wrong thing, I would make somebody mad because I'm basically saying their product is terrible and hurts agents, and then my chances of ever doing anything with Travel Geniuses would be over because I would be blacklisted or whatever. I mean, it's not like anybody cares about me and I'm all that powerful that anybody would care to blacklist me, but it is just me. And so I have to, I just basically thought nobody will ever write an article about Travel Geniuses or anything that I do in a trade magazine, because some trade magazines have their own website platforms. And if I say that they're bad, they're not going to want to give me any publicity at all. And again, that makes it sound like I think a lot of myself and what I'm doing. That's not the case, but that was just a fear in my head. So I tried to sort of hint at some of the things I didn't like, or hint that I didn't like them, but not outright say I thought they were harmful. And something changed my mind about that and made me decide I really need to take a stand and be clear about my opinion on these things. And again, not that my opinion matters, but let me tell you what changed my mind. It was a book, of course. My last episode was about my favorite books. So of course, something I learned was from a book I read. It's not something that was on my favorite book list, though. This is a new book that I just got by one of my favorite authors, Mike Michalowicz. He is the author of Profit First, among other books, but Profit First I mentioned in that last episode. And he has a new book out called Get Different, and it's just talking about how you have to stand out and do something different in your marketing if you want to grow a business. And on page 4, so it wasn't even very far in the book, he's quoting a friend of his who says, if people are buying crap — they didn't say crap, but we're trying to keep this G-rated. If people are buying crap, it may be their problem, but it's your fault. And that just absolutely hit me. And what that means for me is, if travel agents are out there getting websites that are not only not working for them, but are actually harming them and their businesses, it might be your problem if you've done that, because it's your business that's being affected by it. But it's my fault if I haven't done everything I can do to tell you why those are bad choices and help you find something different. That was the motivation for this episode. I also do want to, I promise I'll get to the the point of this podcast episode in a second, but I also want to be very transparent and clear that I do have a website platform for travel agents. TravelGeniusWebsites.com is the website if you want to check it out, and I will link to that in this episode as well. But I'm not saying that that's the only solution. I created it because I've been very frustrated for years and years and years by the options that are presented to you and offered to you as business owners and travel agents. There are several quote unquote websites for travel agents, some platforms that are specifically for travel agents out there. There are also DIY options like Squarespace and Wix and things like that. You can host your own WordPress site, and then you can hire a web designer and get a custom site, but that's thousands of dollars for that, and not everybody can afford that. And there just wasn't a solution that I felt was affordable and didn't require you to DIY it. I know some of you like that stuff, but honestly, in my opinion, you have better things to do with your time and things you're better at. You're not all skilled at design and all the technology needed. And as I'm going to say here, I'm not a fan of most of the websites for travel agents. There's one, I'm not going to name any names here, but there's one that I think is better than the others. But for the most part, I don't think most of them serve you very well. So anyway, I did create Travel Genius Websites out of just pure frustration. And I honestly just kept sort of hoping somebody else would step in and do it, and nobody did. So that's what Travel Genius Websites is. But this episode is not to promote it. Of course, I would love to help you plan and build your website, but that's not the point of this. Ultimately, I want you to be aware of what you're buying, and I want to give you some tools and tips to help you. Even if you stay with one of those platforms, there may be some things you can do to fix your site so that it works a little better for you. So I just wanted to get all of that out of the way. I think I am going to do a couple, maybe two more episodes about websites, and I don't have my note in front of me with the name. I know one, I'm going to talk about SEO. I'm going to bring somebody on to talk about SEO for you guys. And the other one was, some things you can do and add to your website so that it helps make your job easier. So just keep an eye out for those. Okay. All right. Enough of that. Now let's talk about some ways that your website either is hurting your chances of turning website visitors into clients, or is certainly not helping you do that. Actually, there's one more point I want to bring up before we get into that. The first thing you need, if you want your website to work for you and help you grow your business, is traffic to that website. And I will not be talking about that in this episode. I do have some other episodes of the podcast, and I will link to those in the show notes, where I've talked about some what I call get attention marketing tactics. So for me, in my viewpoint, my opinion is that there are two types of marketing. One is get attention and the other is keep attention. So get attention marketing are things that you do to help people find you, help them know that you exist. So some examples of that would be posting on social media, but using hashtags to help new people find you, or writing blog posts or a podcast or having a YouTube channel and using keywords and SEO in those things to help people find you when they're searching for things online. And that's what I'm talking about here for your website. This is not if you build it, they will come. You can't just have a website on the internet and magically people are going to find it. You have to actively do things to help them find it. And like I said, that's a topic for another day. I'm not going to talk about that here. I do have some episodes, and I'm sure I'll do more. Episode 34, I've talked about using Facebook and Facebook groups to get attention and help people find you. Episode 35, I talked a little bit about search, but I am not an SEO expert, so I will be doing another one on that topic. Episode 37, I talked about offline marketing strategies, and granted, this is before COVID, but not everybody loves just sitting at home in their office by themselves online. Some people, believe it or not, if you're an introvert, this may seem so weird, but some people actually like to get out and be with people in person and do things off of their computer. So I did share some offline marketing strategies. And then episode 39, I had Britt Kolo on from Marketing Personalities, and she talks about using your Myers-Briggs personality type. So I'm an INFJ. There's, I don't know how many different ones, but she has created a guide for each personality type with marketing strategies and tools that are generally more suited to your personality type. So I don't want you just going out there trying all these different marketing strategies and hating them because they don't suit you and your personality and the way you like to work. The guides are like, I think $27 or $30. I'll have a link in the show notes for all of those episodes and Britt's website where you can order your specific guide. There's also a link there where you can take a free test to find out what your personality type is if you don't know. But the whole point of this part is just to say that what I'm sharing today are things that will help you turn site visitors into potential customers, but you still have to get people to your site. So you can follow all the things I say in this episode, and if nobody's finding your site, it's not going to do any good. I just don't want people writing me mad because like I did all the things you said and it's not bringing me new clients yet. Well, you still have to get traffic to that site. But the things I'm going to share today will help you turn those visitors, if they're a good fit for you, it will help encourage them to reach out and then potentially customer. All right. Now that that's all out of the way, let's talk about five things on your website that might be hurting your chances of turning site visitors into clients and what you can do to solve that. The first, and I will try not to rant too much, you guys. I know I've talked about this before. The first is a major frustration point for me, and that is that the site promotes deals and specials and supplier promotions. There's so many things I hate about this. First, you should not be promoting deals and promotions. On the off chance that somebody lands on your site and sees one of these and books with you rather than like checking the supplier site to see if they can match it by booking direct and seeing if Costco can beat it or whatever. On the off chance somebody does actually book with you based off of one of those promotions, that's probably not the kind of client that you should be putting a lot of time and energy into attracting. They're most likely somebody who is attracted to sales and specials and might book with you this time, but next time will again search to see where they can find the best deal and book with somebody else later. So it's not somebody that's going to turn into a loyal customer and not the kind of customer that you want to attract. The like goal, ultimately, at least in my opinion, is to attract clients who value the experience over the cost. Of course, you don't want to be irresponsible with somebody's money and you don't want to make them pay more for something than they really have to. But a lot of times when you pay more, you get a much better experience. And the people who value that are the kinds of clients that I personally would rather work with. The other thing that drives me crazy, and this is something I've maybe hinted at, not really said, but the reason they fill those sites with all of these supplier ads, and I will say I don't have any insider information. I don't know the business model for these platforms, the websites for travel agents platforms, but I suspect that they actually get paid for serving those ads up on your website. And here's why. If you might have heard the saying before, if you're not the consumer, you're the product, which means if you're getting something for free, you're the product. Somebody else is paying for access to you. And if you think about most of our trade magazines, they're full of ads. We don't pay for them. That's because they're getting paid for you to see all those supplier ads in there. So you get the magazine for free. That's because you're the product. They're actually selling access to you. And if you haven't been around long enough, you might not realize, but at one point, these website platforms for travel agents used to be free. They were touting free websites for travel agents, so you didn't have to pay, but they were full of ads. And my belief or my suspicion is that they were getting paid by the suppliers to put those ads on those websites. And then the more websites they had, the more agents who were promoting these sites with all the supplier ads to their clients, the more they got paid on the back end from suppliers. So you now are paying for these websites and you're promoting them to your existing client base. You're telling them, check out my website, go to my website. And what's happening? They're just being fed supplier ads that do nothing to promote you. So I can't stand that agents are paying money every month for a site that is just full of supplier ads, and then somebody else is making money to get access to your clients and promote directly to your clients. So these are always a bad idea, in my opinion. I can't think of a single benefit to having them on your site. So the solution is to remove them. I know that you have the ability, if you have one of these sites, you have the ability to control which suppliers or destinations are shown on your site. I don't know that you're able to turn them all off, but if you can, do it. There should be none on your site at all. And that's the solution to that one. The second thing, so point number two, is that the content is uninspiring. And this is sort of similar. I know a lot of you like these sites because they tell you they create content for you and they have destination reports or guides, and you think you can just sign up for a site, upload your logo, choose from a selection of 10 color options, and you're done and you don't have to do anything else. Obviously, I think that's a bad idea. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on the list. And here's why. First of all, have you read any of those destination guides or reports? It honestly reminds me of like the reports I had to do in fifth grade social studies class about a destination and how many miles of coastline it had and what their primary exports were and their industry or whatever. I don't remember the terms. It clearly wasn't my favorite class, but there's nothing in those that makes me want to go somewhere. And just for fun, one of the suggestions that Mike made in that book, Get Different, was to print a picture of the villain in your industry, like the person that you're just like, oh, like for you guys, it would be, these people are making people have bad vacations, like Travelocity or whatever. I shouldn't name names. But he says, like, print up a picture of your nemesis and keep it by your desk to remind you what you're fighting for and what you're trying to help your audience avoid. And so I happen to have a printout of one of these websites that I hate. And on the top is like a thing about Galapagos Islands, which I have been to, and it's an amazing like bucket list. I can't imagine anybody not having a good time there. Amazing destination. And here's what it says. This is the first couple lines. The Galapagos Islands are one of the world's ecological wonders. Located 600 miles off Ecuador's coast in the Pacific Ocean, the 18 islands and 107 rocks and islets that make up this protected wildlife sanctuary are a UNESCO World Heritage Site with a huge variety of animals, including fur seals, hammerhead sharks, iguanas, blah, blah. Anyway, that's not, I don't care how many miles off the coast it is. I don't care exactly how many islands and rocks and like that does not make me want to go. You want to know what would make me want to go? Talk about the fact that on day one, everybody's snapping pictures of the sea lion. I think, now I can't remember. Are they sea lions or seals? Maybe if I had a book report in front of me, I would know. I think they're sea lions. We're just going to call them sea lions. So anyway, I would talk about how on day one, you'll see a sea lion and everybody's crowding around. You can hear all their shutters going off on their phones or taking a million pictures. On day four or five, I was walking down a hill and there was like the cutest little baby sea lion laying somewhere. It just looked so cute. And I took a picture and somebody passed me and said, why are you taking another picture of a sea lion? Because they just sit there and they pose for you and they don't care that you're standing in front of them. They're not going to get out of your way. People used to tell me, they would look at my pictures and say, oh, you should try to sell your pictures to National Geographic. You guys, I'm not a very good photographer. The thing is, they just sit there and you can take 500 pictures and they won't move. And of course, at least one of them is going to turn out, right? It was just the most, that's just one example of something that happened there. Those kinds of things make people want to go and make them want to fill out your contact form or give you a call or schedule a consultation call so that you can help them have that experience too. These dry, boring book reports that they give you as your pre-written content does not inspire anybody to do anything. If anything, they read that and they just think, wow, this travel agent is boring. I'm going to find somebody else who is more exciting and has more personality. They do nothing to encourage people to book with you. The other problem with these is that this content literally, not only does it not encourage people to call you, it does nothing to help you and your site at all. You may think that you're getting like some SEO juice or something from it, but Google has this thing they call duplicate content, and it used to actually hurt your chances of showing up in the search engines. Now, at least it doesn't hurt you, but it does absolutely zero to help. I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think that they like see who the first person to publish this content was, or the first site, the first place it shows up. But anything after that literally will never show up on a search result. So it doesn't help you at all. And it, like I said, it doesn't encourage people to go. It doesn't give them any information or answer any questions they have, unless they're writing a book report about the Galapagos Islands and need to know how far off of the coast of Ecuador it is. But other than that, nobody's going to, it just doesn't help you at all. So the solution for that is, again, just like with the ads, take that stuff off your site and create your own content. And I know that feels very overwhelming. I just did a whole program around some really easy ways to create content. And if you're interested, I did it with insiders, but I could sell it as a standalone program. But we literally talked through all the how to come up with, honestly, an unlimited amount of content ideas that actually will inspire people and will answer questions they have and will get you some SEO juice as well. And then some really easy ways to create that content. I also do have a podcast episode that talks a little bit about this too. It's episode 32, and I talk about what you should be talking about on your blog. And I think I even gave some tips on how to make it a little bit easier to do. So you can check that out, and I will link to that in the show notes. But you don't have to create a ton. I would at least commit to writing one per month at the very least. And then after a year, you'll have a decent sized library of content there that people can find, and it won't be this dry, boring book report. All right. Number three is that it says nothing about you. And that's partly because these sites are so full of this supplier content and supplier promotions and deals that there's no room for anything about you on there. It doesn't tell people why they should work with you, what benefit they'll get from working with you, how you help, who you help, and why they should use you versus just using an online travel agent. I've actually spent quite a bit of time over the last couple of weeks looking at some of these sites for agents, and I think I found one out of probably 100 that I've looked at that had anything about the travel agent, aside from maybe a little blurb on the about page. But every other page on the site, there was literally nothing about the travel agent and what they did and who they were. This is your site. You are paying for it. So it should promote you and it should help grow your business. Here's how to fix this. If possible, and I know it is for at least some of these platforms, because like I said, I did find one where there was a paragraph on the homepage about the travel agent and what she did. So I know on at least one of them, it is possible. Unfortunately, I don't know how to do it, but I'm sure you can write to their support desk and ask how you can add a paragraph or a section of your own content to the site. So hopefully by now you have removed all the ads. Now you're adding some content of your own to your pages and your homepage and removing all those destination guides as well. I know that for some of you, just like creating content in general, writing about yourself and writing website copy is very overwhelming and scary, and you're not sure how to do it and you're not sure how to do it right. First suggestion is just do it. You can always edit it later, but having something imperfect on there that's personal and written by you is much better than having a bunch of supplier ads and dry book reports on there. So just do something. I also do have a couple of podcast episodes. Episode 30 talks about the 5 pages you need on your website. Both of these are with Emily Matris. If you haven't heard of her before, she is a copywriter who works only with travel agents, and she has a course as well. So if you can't afford to hire her to do your copywriting, you could just buy her course as well, and she'll walk you through how to create the copy for all of these pages. And then episode 16 talks about how to work with her and what she does. So those are two really good resources that'll at least give you enough to get started right now. And then maybe you'll be able to afford her in the future, or get on her wait list, or you can get her course and, you know, maybe do a little bit of a better job. But honestly, anything is better than nothing. Don't put a lot of pressure on yourself, and don't wait to do it until you think you can do it perfectly. Just throw something on there, and you can always edit as you go. Maybe every month, spend 30 minutes just going through and changing the wording a little bit. All right, two more to go. That was number three. Number four, I think, yeah. Number four is that it's outdated and doesn't look professional. And I know that seems very superficial and unimportant. Like, who cares if it doesn't look professional or if it looks like it's from 1990, but it does matter. The problem with these done for your websites is, for those in particular, they generally look very cluttered. They don't look modern. Like, the designs aren't very modern. They do look like they're at least 10 years old. And even if you're doing a DIY site, I know that Squarespace and Wix, they have great templates, but you just want to make sure that it makes you look like a professional. And this really does matter. I think I might be a little more biased towards this and might judge sites a little more than the average person, because I do have some experience in web design and design in general. So I really do judge companies by how nice their websites look. If I go somewhere, if it's something important to me, if it's a professional I'm hiring and their website looks terrible, I might not work with them based on that alone. And I may skew a little bit more towards that judgment, but I am not alone. I have a whole list of statistics in front of me, but the two most important are that 94% of first impressions on a website are based on the visuals and design. And more importantly, 50% of website visitors use website design as a defining factor when it comes to credibility, meaning that if your website looks very old and outdated and kind of thrown together and it's just not a well-designed website, they're going to question your credibility and your professionalism. So it is very important, beyond just cosmetics and vanity, that your website is well-designed and looks nice and is something that people enjoy looking at and using. And something to keep in mind here too is that all of this stuff about your website, it's not just random people stumbling on your site for some reason, like Google search or social media post or whatever. These are also referrals from your existing clients. You definitely have some momentum built in if their friend is like, hey, I use this travel agent, you should check them out too. Here's their email. What's the first thing you do if somebody refers you to somebody personally? I check out the website, try to find out more about them, see if I think they're a good fit too. And of course, I've already mentioned I'm very judgmental about what a website looks like. So the same is true with your clients and the people they refer you to. They'll tell their friend or their coworker or family member, hey, I've got this great travel agent, you should check her out, you should work with her, I know you're planning a trip, give her a call. The first thing that friend or family member is going to do is check out your website. And if there's nothing in there to help them see for themselves if you're a good fit, or if the website is very poorly designed and doesn't look like it's been updated in 10 or 20 years, they may still reach out based on their friend's recommendation, but they may also decide to go with somebody else based on the design of your website and how credible it makes you look. So here's what you can do. It's just a repeat of what we've talked before. Make sure you remove those ads. Make sure you write your own content on those five primary pages, even if you can't or don't have the time yet to write blog posts and information about destinations and your preferred suppliers and all of that. But make sure at least you've cleaned up the homepage and you're writing your own content on those five primary pages. There's not a ton with these that you can do to adjust the design, but make sure that the colors that you've chosen match your logo. Make sure you've got a transparent background on your logo versus like a white box around it on a blue background. Anything you can do to try and clean up that design and simplify it. All right, we're down to the last one, and that is that there is no call to action. I mean, if you don't know, like, I come from the marketing world, so I forget sometimes not everybody does. A call to action is basically you telling the person what you want them to do next. So typically, it's like, contact me, schedule a consultation, or sign up for my newsletter. Those are the primary calls to action that you'll be doing. And yes, you probably, even on these sites that I hate, they do have generally your email and phone number on the top and bottom of every page, but you want to go a step further. Like, you want to tell your site visitors what to do if they want to take the next step towards working with you or just learning more about you, because you've probably heard this example before. It's kind of like dating. Like, you wouldn't meet somebody for the first time and ask them to marry you, right? Marrying you is the equivalent of hiring you to help them plan their vacation. So sometimes people need to warm up. They want to learn more about you, see if you're going to be a good fit for them, and can they afford you? Do you plan the kinds of vacations they want to take? All of those things. So book a consultation call isn't what you're going to put on every page. Sometimes, like I said, it's sign up for my newsletter, and that's a way for them to learn more about you, find out if you're a good fit, all of that. So you want to make sure that every page on your site has a call to action. And in those podcast episodes that I shared with Emily, I think it's episode 30. And again, this will be linked in the show notes. We did talk about that on there, so you can learn more there. But you want to make sure that every page on your site has a call to action, and most of those will be sign up for my newsletter. And like I said, I reviewed a ton of these sites, and I'm pretty sure that at least one of them, probably that one that had the paragraph about themselves on the homepage, at least one of them did have a sign up form to sign up for their newsletter on the homepage as well. So I'm pretty sure it's possible. Again, you will need to write into support to ask how, if you don't already know how. You will also need to make sure you have an email marketing platform. So this would be something like MailChimp. Your CRM might actually have an option to do this as well, so you'd have to check with them. But make sure that every page at least has the sign up for my newsletter form, and on your about page might be a good spot to have, like, schedule a consultation call. But listen to that episode with Emily Matris, and we do talk a bit about that there. Now, I do have one bonus tip here. There's this marketing thing. I don't know if it's true, but they say the odd number of items, like 5 tips or 3 things you can do, work and even don't. So I didn't want to say 6 because I had to keep it an odd number, which is why I said 5. So this one's a bonus, and that is that there are too many options. And you've probably heard about a study that somebody did where they were giving samples of jams and jellies or something at a grocery store. And one day they had maybe like 3 different flavors. And another day they had something like 15, a lot more the other day. And surprisingly enough to them, they sold more on the day where they only had a few options versus the day when they had like 15 or 20 different flavor varieties. And the theory is, or I don't know if they've ever, if it's beyond a theory, but the more options people have, the more they feel sort of paralyzed and unable to make a choice. So anytime you can limit the number of choices somebody has, the more likely they are to make a choice versus if you give them too many options, they might just get overwhelmed and decide not to do it at all. And that's a good thing to keep in mind too when you're choosing your fee structure, if you're going to do packages, or I know some people like to break it down like for airline tickets and hotel bookings. So somebody might have like 10 different kinds of fees for one booking. The least number that you can do, the better, and the more likely somebody will make a choice and pick one versus just feeling overwhelmed and not pick any at all. And the same is true with your website. You want to have a few options for them to click on versus like having 20 different pages linked in the top menu bar of your website, in which case they'll just feel like, oh, there's too many. I don't know where to go next. Back. I'm going to go find a different travel agent website to look at. So I was looking at, again, I've been looking at these sites for a while now, and I was just looking at some last night to refresh my memory. And one that I looked at, and I feel like this is common among these, had 10 links in the top header menu bar. And that, again, is, first of all, it's just not pleasing to the eye. It's not a good design look, but it also is just too many options and they don't know where to start. And so they're just more likely to not choose anything, back out, go back to their Google search results and find something else to look at. So reduce the number of options on every page of your site. This holds true for call to actions as well. You may think it's a great idea to have all your calls to action on every page, but people are just going to feel overwhelmed. They're not going to know what to do. Should I sign up for the newsletter? Should I call them? Should I email them? Should I fill out the contact form? Should I schedule a consultation call and they're just going to feel overwhelmed. They don't know what to do next and they're just not going to do anything. So reduce the number of options on your site overall and on each page specifically. And again, I'm going to refer you to episode 30 where I had Emily Matris on. We talked about the 5 pages you need on your website. You don't really need much more than that. And that will give you some tips on how to pare things down. And that's it. That's my 5 things on your site that are preventing you from turning website visitors into customers, and some tips on how to accomplish that. Just to recap, because I know I gave you a lot of information and it can be very overwhelming, feel like a lot, but it really isn't that much. Mostly get rid of all those ads, get rid of all the done for you content, and make sure that every page is talking about what you do, how you can help your clients, what you bring to it, why they're so smart to work with you, and then make sure you have a call to action on every page. Meaning, most likely for most pages, it will be sign up for my newsletter. On a few pages, like your about page, it can be book a consultation call. But if you do those things, you'll have a much better chance of getting people who visit your page to actually sign up for your newsletter and then eventually reach out to have you help them plan their next vacation. I will have links to all of the podcast episodes that I mentioned in this episode in the show notes. So that will be at travelgeniuses.com/episode60. And I will have a link there to my website platform, travelgeniuswebsites.com. But of course, you don't have to use mine. There are other options. And I really have tried to share some things here that you can do no matter where you have your website hosted and who built it. If you found this helpful at all, this or any of my episodes, I would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes. And please share it as well. That way more travel agents can end up with a business that is growing and that they love. I will be back in a couple of weeks with another episode, and I will be talking about things you can do with your website that help make your job easier. And again, this can be done on just about any platform you're with. So I'm actually really excited about that. Until then, have a great week.